Jennifer Walker, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So what'd you do this summer?
I traveled with 30 students to Japan. The students were from Indiana, Illinois, Texas, Washington, D.C. area, and Virginia. We started in Tokyo, and then we went from Tokyo and we climbed Mount Fuji, and we actually got to see Mount Fuji. It was wonderful. And then we went down to Hiroshima and Gifu area, and then over to Kyoto.
Was this your first time going to that part of the world?
Yes, I have never been to Japan, and my friends all know that I do not eat Asian food. So as a leader, you know, trying to show ambassadorial and cultural experiences, I had to stretch mine very much this summer.
So what are your stress levels like when you're traveling abroad with that number of students? Is it fun? Is it exhilarating? What is it like?
Oh, it's a little bit of everything. You feel excitement, but you also stress as a leader. You don't get to sleep very much because, you know, you do worry about those. I travel with teenagers, so I usually have ages 14 to 18. So you have those worries of, are they going to sneak out? Are they going to, you know, give their phone numbers away to a foreigner? You know, you have those stresses, but you also have the excitement. Standing in Australia, I was learning to surf with the students. And when a kid says to me, "Hey, this is my first day in the ocean, and hey, yesterday was the first day in a lake ever in my entire life," that right there just takes your breath away, and you're just like, oh my gosh. And I got to be the one to share that with the students. So
what would you say the biggest appeal is with traveling with young students like that?
Exposing them to the world and giving them the opportunity to do something outside of their normal everyday life. And just being able to experience all the same things myself as a teacher, it expands my horizons as well. And their viewpoints, young adults have a very different viewpoint than adults, and they haven't had some of the experiences that we have. And so it's been wonderful trying to just, you know, teach them what the world can hold for them.
Now, I'm sure when you travel with students, the teacher-to-student relationship changes a little bit because you're kind of forced to see each other in a little bit more of a personal way. How would you describe the relationship that you have with students when you're traveling abroad like that?
It is a little bit different relationship. They usually call us by our first names. So instead of being Miss Walker, I am Jennifer. They get to see me at my best and my worst, because if you catch a cold or there is something you don't like to do, you know, as a leader, I have to say, oh my gosh, I cannot not do something. And so they kind of get to see me as an adult. They're like, hey, you like to do this too? It kind of gives them a new perspective on adults as well. So it's a fun relationship and excitement as well. So
is there any particular story that really stands out from this trip that was just funny or interesting or stood out the most?
Seeing them get to spend time with a family, they actually get a homestay where they live with families. And so for them to have that opportunity, all of the students come back. They're all nervous. Oh, I don't speak the language. What's going to happen to me? Can I call you if I get in trouble? You know, and we have a code word, happy birthday. And so if they say happy birthday, Jen, then I know that they need me to come get them. But just every time they come back from a homestay, all the stories they have to tell, all the new things to try, like raw fish, sushi, and those activities that they don't get to do in their home country, and breaking down some of those barriers and stereotypes of what a person is.
You mentioned earlier that you were a geosciences teacher, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to apply what you learn abroad and the experiences that you have abroad to your classroom during the year?
Oh, yes. We meet with the students throughout the school year, the ones traveling with us. But by having those experiences, I can bring them back into my classroom. Climbing Mount Fuji, I stood on the top and we were above the clouds, and you watch the clouds go through you up and over. So, of course, I'm standing there with my camera taking a video, and I get hollered at, come on, time to move along. But to actually stand on a volcano, which we do not have in Indiana, and to have my photograph, that allows my students in my classroom to say, hey, I know somebody who stood on Mount Fuji. And so that lets them know that it is possible, even if you live in Indiana, you still can go out and change the world and have the science-y experience. And it's okay. That's kind of cool out there. So,
and I have to ask, you mentioned earlier that you're not a big Japanese food fan.
Ugh, no.
So how did you survive in Japan without eating the Japanese food there?
Well, I will say that's breaking down one of those cultural barriers. You look at the food in it's amazing how much a lot of the food that we had over there was very similar to here in the United States. And part of the people-to-people experience is you have to try. Whether you like it or not, you have to try. I also carried 5 pounds worth of snacks in my suitcase so that if I did get hungry, I had a snack. But I ended up giving those away. I did. I took a big gulp of water and I tried that sushi and I found I really liked it. So I was amazed. So now I have to change my phrase from I don't eat Asian to I don't eat Asian in the United States, maybe.
That's fair.
But yeah, it was a big stretch, but it was good food.
Jennifer Walker, thanks so much for stopping by our studios today and telling us about your summer.
Thanks for having me.